Now, very eager to chat to my next guest. You might remember, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, this was an idea that was floated. And floated, I suppose, based on the evidence of the natural reintroduction or recolonisation of large parts of the European continent by the wolf. The wolf, of course, was hunted into extinction in the 18th century in this country. Ireland used to be known as called Wolfland by the earliest people who came in here, the Romans, I think it was at the time we're looking at it. And it was known as Wolfland by the early English who came over here. But the wolf, of course, has been extinct for quite a long time. Now, an ecological study has been done by Killian Murphy. He's an ecological research scientist working at the Lab of Wildlife Ecology and Behaviour at UCD as a PhD student. He's carried out research into the reintroduction of wolves to Ireland. One of the areas studied was, of course, our own Killarney National Park. Killian, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, Jerry. How are you getting on?
Not bad at all, Killian. Listen, the issue of this, look, I can see, and in my mind's eye, I can see farmers and other people rolling their eyes listening to the radio this morning saying, why are they going on about wolves? There's no way in high heaven the wolf will be brought back into here because of all of our farming and all of our sheep. Tell me, first of all, what areas did you study and why did you study? What were the parameters of your exercise here?
So I think first off, the reason we completed the study is that there's, as you said, it's a long-standing debate. Eamon Ryan floated the idea in 2019. And there's very, very strong feelings on both sides. Like you said, like, we're not naive. We know Ireland's a very agricultural country. But there's also a lot of who advocate for kind of rewilding, ecological regeneration in the face of a climate and biodiversity crisis. And so rather than kind of having these endless debates with nothing beneath them and people trying to copy and paste scenarios that have happened in the US and Europe onto Ireland, we decided to take as much Irish data as we had possible, building on studies that we've done for the deer population this year, and just kind of use all that to build a simulation model to see exactly what might happen if wolves did return to Ireland. So in that respect, we got all the national park boundaries. We got the deer data estimates that we collected earlier this year. We got all the habitats data, all the agricultural data, the livestock, for instance. And what we did was we ran a simulation model that tested how many deer wolves might kill after introduction, how many livestock depredation might occur, how much time might they spend in our national parks, which aren't that big. And as you know, these animals range over long distances, and exactly where the den sites might be in relation to farms. And what we did then was we tested different management strategies that have been used across the world. We used different policy interventions that the government might introduce, and we looked at all these different scenarios and examined the outcomes of those parameters that we listed earlier.
So what did you find, and particularly what did you find with regards to the deer population?
So what we found was that, and not no surprise here, and I'd say the farmers listening in wouldn't be shocked either, that if wolves were introduced to Ireland today, given the ecology and given the landscape, which as we all know is quite heavily modified, it's an agroecological landscape in totality, would be that there'd be a huge amount of livestock depredation. So it just wouldn't be feasible from a human wildlife conflict point of view. However, ecologically, there's more than enough prey with respect to the deer. There is more than enough space, and they could survive here. But it's more the human aspect that was the problem.
Okay. Killian.
With respect to the deer, we found that actually with proper management and policy, when livestock depredations went down by creating things like more habitats through afforestation, livestock depredations dropped because ecological buffers went up, and deer predations increased. So you're seeing kind of a more natural ecosystem being built then, and the wolves doing a proper function in that.
Okay, and would it have the impact, or how would you, I suppose, control that impact? You're saying at the moment, as things stand, this isn't feasible because of the damage it would do to livestock. But if things were changed, then it might work. Is that right?
I think any time large predators, like in Europe, they haven't had a choice. They've been recolonizing out of source populations and traveling over long distance. And countries like the Netherlands, which are much, much smaller than Ireland, about a third of the size, with double the population now of wolf packs kind of recolonized into the landscape. The reality is, most of the time, you wouldn't even know they were there, apart from the livestock depredations that do occur. That, unfortunately, is not an ecological issue. It's a political issue, it's a social issue, it's a cultural issue. And it'll be up to the powers that be to introduce measures that allow for kind of social consultation. And it would ultimately be up to the rural population to decide if this is something that they want to do. And the kind of management and policies that would regulate it and that would make them happy enough that if a livestock depredation did occur, that they would be compensated accordingly.
Mm, okay, from that point of view, all right. And if you have the idea of, and afforestation targets have been set, we're meant to have many more. You studied different national parks, including Killarney National Park. What were the findings there? If you were, just for instance, to reintroduce wolves or a wolf pack into the national park, they wouldn't stay in the park, would they? What did you find about Killarney?
So, among the four national parks, we found that Killarney and Glenveagh were quite similar. They're not massive parks, but they are well-sized and they're well-structured. Killarney is almost quite a circular shape, whereas Wicklow, if you look at it, it's quite fragmented and linear in its shape. So the park is kind of interwoven through farmland, whereas Killarney is kind of a stamp on the landscape.
Yeah.
We found that wolves did leave the park quite extensively. However, once again, this is regulated once the management and policy interventions were introduced. It meant that wolves either stayed within the park or that there was enough natural habitat in the boundary of the park that when they did leave the park, they weren't encroaching onto farmland. They were encroaching into more natural habitats. So once again, like, it's all to do with political and management scenarios that would enhance the landscape so that we could once again house large predators.
Yeah. Are more studies going to be needed here in this area about that impact or those impacts you're talking about, Killian?
Look, this is a drop in the ocean, and that's probably why we did it in the first place, just to get this kind of scientific ball rolling, because there's a huge amount of cultural debate on the matter with strong feelings on both sides, and until the debate can be rooted in science, there's absolutely no point having the debate.
Yeah.
Our study looked at a little bit of movement ecology, a lot of predator prey, a little bit of livestock, but it's just one of hundreds of studies that need to be completed. From an ecological point of view, things like territoriality, things like home range, dispersal, population dynamics, all this needs to be done. But there's also a huge amount of work that needs to be done from an economic standpoint. As we know, livestock would take a hit and that would have huge economic repercussions on the livelihood of farmers. But then there's also benefits from these animals coming back to the landscape with tourism and ecotourism being built around the place. Things like socio-political views need to be examined, cultural views. So there's a huge plethora of research that needs to be done. And to be honest, we'd be better for doing it because it would mean that we could have an informed debate as opposed to simply just shouting at each other.
The sort of emotional debate that we've been having thus far. What's been the impact, Killian, of the introduction, not the reintroduction, their recolonization? Because they are spreading from a low base and they're going to all countries in Europe. They won't come here because they can't swim. But what's happened in those other European countries when they've come back into an area?
So this is a process that's been kind of going on since the 1970s, since things like agricultural land abandonment, as you said earlier, afforestation has been growing since then. The large herbivores, so things like deer, wild boar, their populations have grown massively on the continent because hunter populations have dropped and there's been a lot more resources for them with respect to forestry and agricultural land. So all of these kind of factors have led to small populations of large carnivores within these source populations spreading out and kind of re-establishing themselves in these agroecological mosaics across Europe. It really depends where they are. Europe probably has a lot more intact habitats than we do. Where they are coming into agricultural land, there is of course conflict, there is of course livestock depredations, wolves have been shot, that would probably be the same here, but the impact hasn't been absolutely devastating as like we kind of predict.
Has it been managed, Killian? Have they got, like, if our government, I don't know if you know this part of the study or not, if you don't it's fine, but have governments said, look, this is good for biodiversity, it's good for keeping down the deer population, which may or may not be out of control, and will pay farmers for any losses? Is that debate going on currently in these countries, do you know?
So I think ecologically there has been massive benefits. Things like mesopredators, so in our country, foxes, stoats, the American mink, which is invasive. All of these mesopredators get controlled when large predators come back. The deer populations, not only their populations, but their behavior changes. And that's beneficial for not only the natural ecology, but also things like bovine tuberculosis goes down, forest damage goes down, crop damage goes down, road traffic accidents go down. So there are tangible benefits here. With respect to management, yes, there are livestock compensation schemes across Europe. That doesn't mean that it's a silver bullet. There are still huge amounts of upset when livestock depredations do occur. But again, yeah, it just has to be managed in as best a way as possible. And I think there has to be a kind of a cultural acceptance once these animals come back that they are back. And we have to change. For instance, there's been a huge cultural change in the alpine areas of Europe where kind of historic practices have started to come back. Things like guard dogs, Have come back to the pastures and the mountains that are looking to protect the livestock, and these things have massive uses in those cultures and have been long standing, and it does really, really help to keep those livestock depredations down.
Okay, and finally, just going back to Killarney National Park, are you saying the shape of it or its situation would make it more feasible than other national parks for, let's say, wolves to survive there, to thrive there, and perhaps stay within the park to an extent?
So that's something we probably need to examine further. Our study just looked at the shape of the park, put wolves in it. We found that compared to the other parks, Wicklow, for example, is a lot more linear and fragmented. Nefyn is probably one of the biggest, and Nefyn actually performed the best in terms of suitability. As I said, Glenveagh and Killarney were very, very similar. All the parks, though, there was a pattern in that under a no-management scenario, it looked completely unfeasible with the amount of livestock depredations. But under correct political interventions and correct management scenarios, it looked as if that there was a massive drop in the amount of livestock depredations and an increase in the amount of wild deer predation.
Okay. All right. Listen, Killian, it's interesting stuff. More study needed, of course, in relation to this. But thanks very much for telling us about your study and what it found. That's Killian Murphy there, who is a research scientist working in the Lab of Wildlife Ecology and Behaviour in UCD as a PhD student. And what do you make of that situation? Lots of things would have to be done. Lots of hurdles have to be overcome. A good study, though, on what's been happening in Europe with regards to it and the impacts of that. Right now, totally unfeasible for the amount of livestock that would be killed, but if you made changes, increased the foradation, compensation schemes and other such things, in time it may be more feasible. Politically, I don't think it'll ever be feasible, but I could be wrong.